Hey Govs fans, this is Dr. Kevin Kennedy Jr. If you're like me, you love cheering on Clarksville's hometown team because the Govs mean something special to our Clarksville community. From little Govs to lifelong Govs, our dental teams are here to serve your family for every need with specialists in kids dentistry at Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry to our experienced general dentist at Clarksville Dental Center. If you love our community and are looking to support businesses that do as well, we'd be honored to serve you. And hey, if you haven't heard yet, Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry is the official sponsor of the Junior Govs Club, the premier club for kids to grow into lifelong Govs fans. Let's go, P.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in to the latest episode of the Gov Talk podcast. I've got myself and Chris here, like always, and it's always fun to do recaps when the Govs pick up a big win. So the Govs won 44-30, gave previously undefeated West Georgia their first loss of the season. So it's good anytime you can beat a top 15 team by two scores. That's pretty impressive. We'll real quick go over the main stats here. This game had a little bit of everything. I mean, you had a pick six, you had a fumble recovery, you had a blocked extra point return for 2 points. This game had a little bit of everything. Chris Parson, first of all, had a fantastic game. 16-26. 346 yards with 3 touchdowns. And then he also added 2 rushing touchdowns. Javius Bond led the way with 51 rushing yards. And Jaden Robinson had a great game, his best game of the season. He caught 6 passes for 60 yards and 2 scores. Shamar Kirk added a score, and he caught 3 passes for 55 yards. Cortland Simmons had a big 84-yard catch. Javius Bond had a big 44-yard catch. Kamari Maxwell, Jackson Head, Julian Randolph all had big gains of at least 20 yards down the field that moved the chains. So spread the ball around, hit Chris Parsons' deep ball is a thing of beauty, man. Like, I think I said it to you at the game. It's like every time he lobs it up down the field, he connects.
Yeah, I was really hoping Simmons was able to take that all the way, but
yeah,
I mean, it's anytime he puts the ball up in the air, he puts it right into their hands.
Yeah, he does, and I want to talk about the crowd. Like the crowd was fantastic. Me and you were down in the end zone, and there was raucous crowd, a lot of people going crazy, giving it to the refs and the opposing team. Great environment. Like you said, that, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of open seats on the home side. So,
yeah, the home side looked completely full. I mean, there, like you said, there weren't very many empty seats there. Still need to work on that visitor side, though. So,
yeah, we need to schedule a TSU game or something.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, I think overall, I mean, the more you win, the more it'll be full. And I think the environment has not really been lacking, I wouldn't say. So,
no, I mean, the environment was great, you know, all the, you know, from tailgate alley to, you know, to the game. And there was, I got there early for tailgating, and there was a lot of recruits.
There was a ton of kids there.
Yeah. I think last weekend was the big weekend, but I think there was actually more. It seemed like maybe there wasn't, I don't know. But it sure seemed like there was a lot more recruits. And Govs and West Georgia put on a show for them.
Right. And one of those recruits in attendance was actually Chris Parsons' brother. So
yep.
That's kind of interesting. We'll see.
Who is little brother, but not little, apparently, according to his dad.
Right. He's a linebacker, right?
Little brother is bigger than big brother, apparently. So
yeah,
hopefully he chooses the Govs.
Yeah, I mean, they're from Middle Tennessee. His brother's balling out for us, so yeah. It'd be kind of cool. Yeah, man, what was your takeaway from this game?
There was a lot to unpack. Like you said, from the block extra point to turnovers to long pass plays. It was just you know, a little bit of everything. Something, you know, there's a couple of things that kind of kind of bugged me. You know, penalties are still an issue. Govs had 12 for 96 yards compared to West Georgia's 5 of 45. And, you know, this is not me trying to be biased, but, you know, I think some of those penalties against the Govs were a little, what's the word I'm looking for?
Nitpicky.
Nitpicky is a very good one, especially the very first one on the very first play of the game. I mean, that was very incredibly nitpicky. And then you know, then you have I think there was an instance early, I think maybe in the second quarter, and I think two of West Georgia's guys were all over, I think it was Jackson Head, and nothing was called. And then there was a media break or a timeout or something, and Coach Ferris was out on the numbers in the face of two of those referees. So,
For the second weekend in a row, he
for the
was like,
second
"I hear
weekend in
it."
a row. So he was defending his guys, and I love that. So, and he had every right to do that, because I mean, yeah, officiating crew was a little suspect,
Well,
Saturday.
I think, it seems like tacky when we complain about it, but it's true. I mean, there's the one, a couple of the holds on us were legit, and then obviously the Ellis one in the second quarter, in second half, he did something he shouldn't have done.
No.
We all saw it.
Nope.
I mean, I think it's kind of lame. I like the passion. You're in the heat of the moment. You do some stupid stuff sometimes. I love Ellis's passion. I hope he didn't get in trouble for that because he's just a
Yes.
passionate player.
Yep.
But it can screw you over. I mean, you got to be smart. You got to do something else other than
Yep.
what he did. But yeah, I mean, it's once again, the Govs had over 10 penalties, and thankfully they played so well in other areas that it didn't really matter. I mean, if you think about it, the turnovers really saved that from impacting the game more, because we had 14 points off of turnovers, so that would be the difference. I mean, we won by 14 points. So the penalties could have really screwed you, and they didn't because you got some key turnovers. But
Yeah.
it sounds like beating a dead horse, but you can't keep getting 12 penalties a week.
No, and you're right. I mean, I'm not saying all of them weren't warranted. I mean, there was definitely, like you said, blatant holds, Ellis's penalty, and you saw Coach Ferris there kind of pulling. It was just 1-on-1 with him and Ellis, and I mean, you could tell what was going on with that conversation without having to hear it. So, you know, but the thing is, you know, and maybe this officiating crew saw going into this game that the Govs do a lot of penalties, and you know, and the more we go on with each game throughout the season, I mean, the referees are going to see that, and so will, you know, so will teams that who we, you know, like EKU will probably try to exploit that this weekend.
I mean, it's
You
definitely a
know, so.
thing. Like, they know who's prone to penalties and
Yep.
who's
Yep.
not. So I'm sure the refs are definitely like keyed in
Yep.
more when they know that you're known for making for committing penalties. So just
Yep.
got to be mindful of that stuff.
But you know, and then the other thing was turnovers. I mean, it was you know, you ended up winning by 14 points. So you know, but you know, just like the Abilene game, we had two turnovers and lost by 14. You know, I'll kind of, you know, turn around on this one and say, if you don't have those two turnovers, you're probably looking at a 60 spot or close to a 60 spot on an undefeated team. But luckily for the Govs, it did not the turnovers didn't really hurt them this time around.
No, I mean, you had that Chris Parson interception was so weird.
Yes, I'm not sure what he saw there, and he's probably thinking the same thing watching film, would be my guess.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like, I don't know, it looked like it got tipped at the line or his hand got hit, but it didn't. Like, it was just a wounded duck. It was a weird throw. And he doesn't make mistakes like that, so I'm not going to kill him for that. And he more than made up for it. I mean,
Well, that's what great players do, is they make up for it. So he definitely did that. So.
And same thing with Shamar. Like, Shamar lost the fumble, and that swing was so bad because it was right in the second half. The first drive of the second half, we score. And then after that, Chris throws the Shamar fumbles, and then they get points off of that. And then Chris throws the interception, and then they get points off of that. And it gave me like Vietnam flashbacks of like last season, because it's like there were so many games last season like that where we had some good momentum, and then we just had two like horrible drives in a row, and it just completely killed us. And I want to give Coach Ferris a lot of credit and the team, because this team didn't quit. Like, I think everybody in our section was feeling it, Chris. Like, when those two turnovers back-to-back and we went down, everybody was like, oh, we've seen this before. Like, and they didn't let it happen. They ended up coming back, and they never hung their heads. They didn't get down. They did what they had to do, and it was really great to see. I mean, that was a lot of adversity they fought through at the end, in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, that was. I mean, the whole game was just a roller coaster of emotions. You know, West Georgia starts off with that field goal, Govs respond, West Georgia responds, and then we immediately respond with the block extra point and got the 2 points. And then you go from being down, all of a sudden down two, to all of a sudden tied. So, yeah, it was just a complete roller coaster of emotions on Saturday. So.
That just makes me like, again, I just want to emphasize how much like joy that brings me that they're able to fight through this stuff. Oh, we've seen several of the other Austin Peay teams over the years that get in their feelings when something doesn't go their way, and that it snowballs and you just never recover. And this team does not do that. I mean, you give up a touchdown in the first half, and you know what? You're going to be down 10-7, you think, and then they block the extra point, and it's a 9-9 game. I mean, stuff like that makes all the difference.
And I had it, you know, we were standing right behind when that happened.
Yep.
And I mean, you could see Ellis lined up, and I mean, he was ready to go the moment the ball was snatched. So he seemed to have a read on something.
And he tried to do it again later in the game, and he got offsides.
Yeah,
but they definitely were, and I wonder how much it had to do with the kicker, West Georgia's kicker, being on Austin Peay last year.
Yeah,
I'm wondering if Ellis like knew something about. I have to think that played a factor, because the one time that we do that, this is the first time we've done it all year, and it was against the guy who used to play here. So I have a feeling that Coach Ferris knew something about his mechanics, or they knew how to time it. And that was a pivotal moment of the game. I mean, those 2 points were huge at the time.
Yeah, that and you know, something else that you know, I think just completely flipped the momentum completely to the Govs was Will Middleton's pick six.
Yep,
was a great read. Picked it off, ran it all the way back. So I think that was the moment where you could say, all right, the Govs got this.
Yeah, we were up 37-30, and then West Georgia had the ball back. And, you know, you were thinking, okay, well, they can drive the ball down the field and tie it right back up. And then Will Middleton, just, I guess the quarterback didn't see it. It was their backup quarterback, and he didn't see Will sneaking across the middle, caught it, ran it in for the end zone. So that was great. And that ended up being the final score, 44-30. So they, I will say that, like, their quarterback, Widmer or whatever, he went out of the game. And I actually thought their backup quarterback throws the ball better. I mean, his numbers were not good, but he was playing from behind. He had pressure on him. I don't want to sound like a hater, like, no offense to West Georgia, but their offense did not impress me that much. I mean, they did put up 30 points. They do a lot of – their running back, Morrell, is a player. Morrell is a real player. That guy's good. All props to their running back. But other than that, I mean, they don't have any receivers that are going to scare you. They didn't burn us down. They didn't even try to go down the field. Like, we were talking about that all game. They do a lot of people in our – vicinity, not me and Chris, but other people around us were calling the quarterback a check down Charlie, because they look for screens, they do a lot of pre-snap motion. They do a lot of screens, a lot of dump offs, and that's how they win games. And they did have some success with it against us, but ultimately, you know, you never want to see a guy go down with injuries. I hope, you know, their quarterback's okay, but that did probably play a role.
Oh, yeah, I think it definitely did. And, yeah, I was trying to find something on it before we got started tonight to see if there was any kind of update on it. But, you know, going to what you were saying about, you know, not really throwing the ball down the field, I mean, their longest passing play was only 24 yards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
Chris Parsons was that in his sleep.
Yep. A lot of, like you said, a lot of dump passes, a lot of screen passes. So, yeah, I thought the Govs handled that, you know, fairly well. They did the trick play for their second score was, I'll be honest, was impressive. Devin Widener was, I mean, there was nobody, there was not a go within 10, 15 yards of them. So,
yeah, that was not something that I don't think they'd put on tape because it completely caught us off guard.
Oh, yeah. It was a great play call.
It was.
Yeah.
And I think they do a lot of stuff like that, like a lot of the pre-snap motion, a lot of the dump offs, because it catches defenses off guard. And they do have some good athletes on that team.
Yeah. So absolutely. They impressed me, you know, a lot. We both said it, you know, on the previous podcast, their, you know, schedule compared to ours was not very good, but they do got some players.
Yeah. I mean, like their schedule wasn't incredibly impressive, but I mean, anytime you win five games in a row, it doesn't matter who you're playing.
Yeah.
I mean, if you win five games in a row, I'm going to give you some respect there.
And,
you know, we'll see how it goes for them once they get deeper into conference play. But I do think that's a team that can upset some people. I mean, I don't think they're a scrub team by any means.
I don't think so either. They've definitely earned some respect from within the league, for sure.
I mean, if you look at, again, no offense to Utah Tech, but they put up a much tougher fight than Utah Tech did against us, I think.
Absolutely.
They're not the easiest matchup. So I do think, though, like we said, the penalties are the main thing, that the main negative that I'll take away here. The penalties are just so infuriating. And like you said, we had 12 penalties. Probably six or seven of them were very ticky-tacky, like very like, come on. And like you said, there were multiple times, and you can probably do this every game, but, I mean, we're here on the field, so we can see it pretty well. There's a couple plays, especially in the second half, where, like, our corners are just getting held like crazy, and it is what it is.
Yep.
We know that they're gonna be quick on the whistle against us, so you just have to be more mindful of it.
And again, that goes back to your previous games. I mean, officiating crews and teams are going to see that, hey, this is a team that, you know, gets a lot of penalties, so they're going to have an even closer eye on that kind of stuff. So
I wanted to point out a play that I don't think a lot of people probably paid attention to. That long Shamar Kurt score.
I think I know where you're going with this.
Did you see the block from Josh Sales?
Yep. So that was – I actually had that wrote down as one of my plays of the game.
That was freaking incredible. And that is something that you want to see. And Josh Sales' parents were sitting there right next to us. And they're awesome, by the way.
Yep.
Like, they just got here two months ago, and they're like the biggest Gov fans ever.
Yep.
But seeing Josh come out there – and he's a big old boy, by the way. Yeah. Like, that's – 315, like that's a D1 lineman right there, and he just came off and just pancaked that guy to leave Shamar open down the sideline for a long score. That was really a play that stuck out to a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, if he don't make that block, I mean,
yeah, who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah.
You know, the drive stalls, Shamar, you know, maybe have been able to put a move on him and count past him. I mean, I think there was enough room to get outside and go back towards the middle of the field. But, yeah, I mean, Josh said, forget all that. I'll just push this guy out of the way. And it was Shamar had a clear pass from that. That was a huge play and a great play by Sales. So, and then, like you said, his parents, they've stood behind us the last two games. I mean, they're into the game, especially Mom is into the game mm-hmm. the whole entire time.
She called the pick six, by the way. She was just...
I think she did, yeah.
But yeah, that was definitely a play that's the kind of play that gets scouts' attention. And I know that's the type of play that Coach Ferris likes to see.
Yeah. So it almost kind of reminded me of the blind side.
Yeah.
Michael Orr blocking that one, dude.
I mean, this is a guy though, like, I mean, Sales started games at Purdue. So this is a guy that knows what he's doing. Like, this is he's a real lineman. Yeah. And I honestly, like, speaking of the line, I thought the entire line played great. I like the line formation that we've been using, where you have from left to right, you have Sutton, Ba, Curtin, and then Hilliard and Sales. So as opposed to they had Bowden playing guard, and then they had Sales on the left, and then Ba on the right. I like this version a lot better. I think it's been very efficient the last couple of weeks. They allowed 2 sacks this week, but one of them for sure is on Parson. He kind of walked into it. I would think it would be – wouldn't it be assigned to any lineman? And West Georgia gets after the quarterback, man. I mean, they were averaging 3.5 sacks per game, and they only got 2 against you, so you have to feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, Lonsdon. I mean, you know, like you said, they had two sacks this past weekend. And I think it was just 2 the weekend before against Utah Tech.
Yeah, and those are 2 of the best pass rushers in the league. So.
Yeah. So, but yeah, both lines, I thought, didn't lived up to the hype this weekend.
Yep. And I also wanted to point out that we have a really good kicking situation.
Yeah.
Like, kicker and punter are not a problem, especially in the FCS level. Like, kicking and punting can really, like, kill you, and it is not a problem for Austin Peay. I mean, if you have a field goal that's 50 yards or less, or you need a punt, a really good punt to pin somebody back, you're in good hands with the Govs.
Yeah, I will say that's where I will give Ferris and Coach Ferris and Scotty Walden a lot of credit. We've had some good kickers in recent years. Carson and Maddox. I'll have to go back down the line to see who all before those two. But yeah, those have been some great kickers, and they've done very well.
Yeah, and I mean, that's just another one of those overlooked aspects of the game. But yeah, I mean, my main takeaway, you know, the penalties, got to cut the penalties out a little bit. The offense is freaking fantastic. You know, in the rush defense, really, I mean, we came in only allowing like 80 yards a game. And West Georgia, you know, loves to run the ball. They have the number one rushing offense. So I think it's really a win that you held West Georgia to 157 rushing yards. I mean, that sounds like a lot, but no individual rusher got to 100. And against West Georgia, I think that's a win. I mean, Morrell is a guy that can easily get 120. And then the passing, I mean, the passing defense is going to really move up the rankings this week because West Georgia only had 205 passing yards. So, I mean, 30 points is 30 points, but the defensive performance was actually pretty good, I thought.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. I completely agree. You know, Montrez, I don't have his stats completely in front of me, but Montrez Smith, you know, who is actually from Carrollton, Georgia, where West Georgia is. So,
yeah.
You know, you had to expect to have a big game from him. I think he had 7 or 8 solo tackles, a sack.
Yeah. Yeah, 8 total tackles, 7 solo, 1 sack, 1 tackle for loss, 1 quarterback hit, and 1 forced fumble.
So he had a game. He lit it up. So he was ready for the hometown team.
And also, I'm going to say this. I beat this drum a lot. Ellis is going to be playing on Sundays one day. I think Ellis is one of the best defensive backs I've seen play at Austin Peay. I mean, he once again had 3 tackles. He had a tackle for loss. He had a pass breakup. He blocked the extra point that led to 2 points. I mean, the dude is involved in everything. He's all over the field. He tackles good. I really do think Ellis is going to be playing on Sundays.
Yeah, I'll have to go back and look and find some names from previous seasons. But, yeah, Ellis is going to have to be, like, right up there.
I mean, you had last year – and, you know, that's saying something because last year we had some good defensive backs. I mean, you had Dorian Davis, who's playing in the pros now. You had Jesse Johnson III, who easily could be.
Yep.
I mean, you had some good corners last year too. So, props to this team for developing players like that.
Yeah,
and now you had the two game homestand that you came away with both wins, which we predicted in the preseason. So now you're sitting at 4-2, and you're 2-1 in the UAC, and you control your own destiny.
Yeah, I agree. You know, looking forward, you know, not too beyond this weekend. I mean, is it fair to say this weekend is a must win?
So, depends on what you mean by must win, because if you're looking for playoffs, yes.
Yeah.
If all you care about is improvement and like taking that next step, I think you've already done that regardless, because you're already at 4 wins, which is the season total you had last year. You already have 2 more home wins than you had last year. I do think it would be a really big, like, deflating thing to lose to EKU, because EKU has not looked very good. And, you know, you feel like the division is wide open. I mean, maybe not Tarleton, maybe the second spot's wide open. So you shouldn't lose to EKU. I mean, yeah, I get what you're saying. Do you think it's must win?
I think it is. You know, and it's one of the reasons why it makes me nervous, because I'm looking at the history from the last, since 2017, Govs have won 1, 2, 3, 4. They're 4-3 against EKU, and every one of those games have been, with the exception of 2022, have been a 1-score game. So whether it's at home or away, I mean, this is and doesn't really matter who's good and who's not, and or both teams are good, like in 2023. You know, it's a close one between these two.
Yeah, and like you said, the home team usually loses, and that's the recent history.
Yep.
But I mean, you don't ever want to overlook a team, and I don't think that'll be a problem here. I mean, I think coach knows what's in front of them. I think he sees the opportunity they have here, and quite frankly, I think they're too good to lay a complete egg.
Yeah. I mean, I just think, you know, maybe I'm being a little too, I don't know, but yeah, I just feel like this weekend is a must. I mean, you're going into a bye, I believe, after this week.
Yep.
And then, you know, things will be a lot better if you go into a bye week on a 3-game win streak.
Well, yeah.
Coming in and then knowing your next game isn't home against North Alabama and it's your homecoming game. So, I just think, you know, you're really sitting comfortable if you win this game this weekend. And then if you don't, you know, it's kind of deflating, but because then you got to sit on it for 2 weeks. So
that is true. I mean, you don't want to lose going into a bye. You want to have something to feel confident about. Like you said, 3-game win streak going into the bye. I mean, if you look at it, you know, you have – if you lose to EKU, you're 4-3. You have a homecoming game at home against North Alabama. I mean, everybody thinks you should win that. Be 5-3. Southern Utah, man, like, we'll talk about them in a minute, but that's a team that you cannot overlook. I mean, that's not a guaranteed win at all.
They can put up some points.
I mean, Central Arkansas, Samford, and North Alabama – those are your last 3 home games. I'm going to say those should all be wins. So worst case scenario, you're looking at a 7-5 season if you lose to EKU. So, I mean, you're not making the playoffs, but I think you would feel good about that. I mean, You'd probably look at it though and be like, damn, like we could have, because if you think, I mean, it doesn't look like Tarleton's going to be losing too many games. So you got to think if you lose to EKU, that's your second conference loss. You definitely can't lose another.
Yeah, that's kind of why, that's kind of where I'm going with it being a must win.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not very comfortable if you lose this game and then you're relying on other teams. And then, like you said, you know, you're possibly looking at 7-5 and hoping somebody from the Big Sky or the Missouri Valley, you know, takes a loss or two that they shouldn't.
Well, and then you also have, like, if you lose to EKU, you got to win out in the division, and that includes at Tarleton to end the season. Yep. And you got to assume they lose another game too, which is not a guarantee because they look like a freaking – which I guess – do you have anything else about our game, or do you want to – we can go
– No, I mean, we can wrap that up.
Okay, so, you know, since we kind of already talked about it, so – the first game, you have North Alabama at Abilene. Abilene won 52-23. What'd you think about that game?
I mean, I think Abilene led it from wire to wire, as they, I think, as everybody expected. You know, they're at home. They're tough at home, as we've seen. So, yeah, I wasn't real too surprised with that.
Yeah, I wasn't either. I mean, that's Abilene's a good team, man. I mean, they've stumbled a couple times, but that's a solid team. North Alabama's not very good this year.
Yeah, I mean, them coming off, you know, that, you know, I would say a disappointing loss last weekend to Incarnate Word. I mean, they didn't lose. They just they got beat by, I think it was almost four touchdowns at least. So you had to. You had to expect them coming home and taking it out. Yeah, taking it out on North Alabama. So,
yeah, they got killed. Yeah. So, poor North Alabama. And then you have the game of the kind of two bottom feeders. You had Utah Tech and Central Arc. And Central Arc came away with a 23-17 win. Not really. I don't know if there's much you can take away from that game. I mean, I thought Utah Tech. I feel bad for Utah Tech, man, because, like, all of their games have been close. Like, they're not a terrible team, except our game.
I was going to say, I think our game was the only one that really got out of control for them. But, yeah, I was kind of pulling for them. I was hoping they would get that win.
So that would be Central Arkansas. That was Central Arkansas's first win because they played Tarleton and got demolished. So that was their first conference win. Utah Tech is still looking for theirs. And then Southern Utah at Tarleton. Tarleton won 52-42, but at one point the game was 42-42. And it was an offensive freaking showing. I mean, in the first half at least.
Yeah, I mean, it was 28-28 at halftime.
Yeah, crazy. So crazy game.
If you like scoring, that was definitely a good game to watch. So
something to notice, like, we'll talk about this later on and, you know, next month, I guess. You can definitely run on Tarleton. Like, I don't know if you looked at the box score, but Southern Utah's running back went for 189 yards and four touchdowns.
I was watching that a little bit, but you're absolutely right. I think
they had 300 rushing yards.
That's what I was looking at. Yeah.
They had two running backs go over 100 yards.
Yeah. So, you know, the thing that jumps out to me at Tarleton is their offense. I mean, they put up almost 600 yards of offense. That's pretty incredible.
You know what's even crazier about it? They don't even have their starting quarterback.
Yeah.
Like Victor Gabalis, who was the preseason, you know, all everything, he hasn't even been playing. Like Daniel Greek is their backup quarterback, and he threw for 282 yards and three touchdowns. Like they're just an offensive freaking powerhouse, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't even realize that until you just said something. So, yeah,
they put up
that's pretty incredible.
quarterback. Yeah, I mean, that's definitely crazy. I mean, if you look at their points, they've now scored at least 52 points in four straight games.
Yeah, that's heavy offense right there.
I mean, they scored – the lowest points they've scored all year was 30, and that was against Army.
Yeah.
So, that's a scary offense. I mean, I don't know how many games they're going to lose, if I'm being completely honest. I think one thing that's interesting about it, though, is they do have a late bye. Like, they don't have their bye until after the 10th game.
Yeah, I think they haven't played Abilene yet, have they?
No, that's the game that everybody's going to be watching. It's at Abilene, too.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. That's
November 1st.
Yeah, that's going to be the game, I think, that everybody's kind of looking at. And I think some of them looked at the Central Arkansas game, which I was one of them. I thought Central Arkansas would kind of give them a little bit better fight and had a couple of Tarleton fans respond after the game, of course.
But well, let me tell you this. Utah Tech's going to be a grease spot on the floor against Tarleton. But after that game, they have West Georgia. And I just told you that Tarleton, they just allowed 300 rushing yards. Well, guess who can rush the ball pretty damn good? West Georgia.
Yeah. So that'll be an interesting game as well, too.
I mean, I think, don't get me wrong, I think Tarleton will be able to light their defense up, but I wouldn't be surprised if West Georgia can score on Tarleton.
Yeah, I was trying to pull their schedule up here. My iPad is acting up.
So it's Utah Tech at Utah Tech this coming up week, and then they are home against West Georgia, at EKU, and then at Abilene, and then they have their bye.
And then they have the two games remaining are both at home against North Alabama and then us.
I wish the Abilene game was before us. I mean, come on. They get to beat North Alabama by 50 before they play us. That's great.
I think the West Georgia game, you kind of have to kind of give the edge to them, obviously, because they're at home.
Yeah.
You know, the Abilene game, I mean, that's a toss-up. I mean, you're at Abilene, and depending on what the Govs do, you know, that could be a huge game on the 22nd, November 22nd.
So you want to know a fun fact? So we've actually scored more points than Abilene has or Tarleton has this year. We've scored the most points. I think that's right. ESPN might be wrong. That looks right to me. But, yeah, Tarleton is a team that you don't want to – that's not going to be an easy game. I mean, I think that anytime you let a team score as many points as Southern Utah scored, though, they're not perfect.
Yeah. That'll be an interesting game, but we got to get there.
What's crazy, though, Chris, is, like, before the season, if you looked at the standings right now, nobody would have thought that. So, you have Tarleton, Abilene, and Austin Peay are all – and West Georgia are all at the top with two conference wins. And then everybody else has zero.
Yeah.
So EKU, Central Arkansas, North Alabama, and Utah Tech, and Southern Utah, like, all have zero. So it's interesting.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. Looking ahead to this weekend, other than ours, Abilene at West Georgia, and that'll be a good one. Then other than that, that'll probably be the game of the week in the USC.
So anything else you want to talk about football? Well, obviously we'll do the preview for EKU later this week, and then anything else you want to talk about football-wise?
No, we can wrap it up on this weekend and come back on Thursday.
Oh, you want to talk about some basketball real quick?
Yeah, absolutely.
So
we got finally got a schedule.
Yes. What was it? You tell me in the press box, like.
I think we were one of like only maybe 10 or 12 teams that hadn't released their, of course, you know, the conference schedule came out a long time ago, but I think we were like one of a dozen teams left that hadn't released the, out of conference schedule yet. So, which we talked to Alex and a lot of that has to do with who we're playing or.
Yeah, blame it on Alex. We're
trying to play. Yeah,
hate mail to Alex Allen.
So, but yeah, finally got the out of conference schedule, and it picks up actually a week from Friday with exhibition at Southern Illinois. That's
awesome. That's crazy.
Wild to think. But basketball season is starting to, creep up on us.
Right,
I mean,
around the corner.
We had. First night of tryouts at school tonight, so it's creeping up. So
you got, like you said, you start off, you have October 17th at Southern Illinois, then you have the home non-cons. We'll go that way.
Yep.
The home non-cons, you have Middle Tennessee on October 28th. Beat them in another sport.
It's another exhibition game. So
yep, and then you'll have November 3rd against Bryan. November 25th against Northern Illinois, December 12th against ETSU, and December 28th against Fisk. Then your away games, you have the exhibition at Southern Illinois. Then you have at Air Force, at Wyoming. Nice little West Coast trip there. And then you have at UNC Greensboro, at Ole Miss, at Tulsa, at Kent State, at UTRGV, and at Kansas City. So what's any of those stand out to you?
I like the Southern Illinois. I mean, I wish it wasn't I've even seen some of the Southern Illinois writers saying it, kind of wish it wasn't an exhibition game.
I know.
And then MTSU, I couldn't tell you the last time we played MTSU in basketball. The only thing that really stands out as far as, like, the road schedule, I know a lot of old-school Ghost fans will kind of agree with me, but, kind of miss the days where we had some road games that we could actually attend and make a presence. Your closest road game is is Ole Miss.
Yeah.
And that's on a Tuesday night. So, unfortunately, I don't think too many Ghost fans will be making that trip. Got plenty of opportunities at home for some wins before you start off the conference slate, which this year is at F&M Bank Arena instead of on the road. So you get North Florida the very first game again, and then Jacksonville, the second game, just like last year, except vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah.
So, looking at the ladies, you have home non-cons against Sewanee, Vanderbilt, Indiana State, that school in Callaway County, and Barry, Georgia. And then your away non-cons are Chattanooga, Southern Illinois, Kansas City, Evansville, UIC, and Loyola, Chicago. I mean, I honestly kind of like that schedule better.
Yeah.
That's, like, way more interesting.
And I'll be honest with you, I've never heard of Barry. I cannot tell you who.
So the only reason Barry I know is. That – the only reason I know I've ever heard of that school is because – that is where Mason Kinsey, who was a wide receiver for the Titans, he went there. That's the only reason I know about it.
Well, there you go. Learn something new every day.
But still, the Vanderbilt game is going to be cool. Vanderbilt in Clarksville.
Yeah.
And then the Callaway County people.
Yeah. At least they'll play us in something.
Well, we're going to be at that game. We're going to – that'll be fun.
Yeah, the Vanderbilt game. This is, believe it or not, I know it's not the first time that they've come to Clarksville. I know they came to Clarksville once when it was at the Dunn Center, and it was there was a lot of people there for that game, if I remember right. So hopefully a lot of people show up to F&M Bank.
For sure. And even the away games are not bad. Like Chattanooga and Evansville and Southern Illinois, like those are, you could travel to those.
Yeah, I mean Evansville, I mean that's a 2 hour, drive, depending, as long as construction's not crazy like it is right now. It's a, 2 hour drive max.
And Carbondale's not that far either.
Carbondale's, no, that's another 2 hour drive.
Yeah.
Murray, well, no, Murray comes here. Yeah, no, I mean if you wanted to attend a couple of road games, you got the opportunities to do so.
Fun times. It's crazy. This year's just flown by. I mean, it's already almost basketball season again. I mean, it's crazy, crazy. So we'll
Yep.
obviously do more basketball stuff too once it comes around. We'll still do two shows a week like we've been doing. Obviously, you have so much going on during the week, and I know you're gonna have your the high school basketball stuff, but we're gonna have probably do like a probably the same thing, I would think, like a Sunday show for a preview in the upcoming week, and then like a Friday show recapping.
Yeah. And, being on the topic of basketball and talking about high school, I mean, there's, Coach Gibson is getting out and looking at some of these local guys. There's a couple guys from Kirkwood that have gotten, I believe, has some offers. And then I think there's a kid at Rossview that got one this past weekend or last week or something. So, if you like your basketball, I mean, get out and watch these high school guys. I mean, these high school games around here in Montgomery County are fun to watch. It don't matter where you go, whether it's Clarksville High, Northwest, CA, so can't govs aren't at home, go check out some of these local kids, because they're a lot of fun. A lot of fun to watch.
Absolutely. Anything else you got for tonight, buddy?
I did see we got to give a shout out to cross country, track and field and cross country. I believe
Oh, yeah.
won their weekend, and I think it was in Louisville. So shout out to them.
So they did, yeah, the Louisville Classic Champs. For the first time since 2024, the Govs are bringing hardware back to Stashville.
Yep. So congrats to them.
And the soccer team got a point in conference play.
They did get their first point at Central
First game with
Arkansas.
two goals, right?
Yeah, two goals. So hope maybe, maybe they can build off that.
Hopefully that was the spark they needed to get going a little bit.
Yeah. They definitely needed one. So hopefully maybe getting two goals in that game will spark some momentum.
All right, man. Sounds good.
And then
Anybody?
also, yeah, I also want to say a lot of people were, I think they said something to you too on Saturday that that they were listening, and appreciate everybody stopping and saying they're enjoying it. Glad people are liking it. Glad they like to hear us ramble on every episode. So thank you for listening.
Thank you guys for listening. Every week we tell people tell us they love the show and they like, tuning in every episode, and that means a lot to us. So that's
Yeah.
why we do it. It's fun. We would do it if nobody was listening, but when you know that there's people out there that like what you do, it gives you more motivation to do this. So
Yeah, I mean there's a couple of times I'm like, are people even actually listening to this? Yeah. So then you go to a game like we did this past Saturday, and you had numerous people coming up to me and you or both of us saying how much they're enjoying it. So,
yep, the number one Austin Peay podcast in the world, son.
Yes, sir.
All right, let's go pee.
Let's go, Pete.
Hey, Govs fans, this is Dr. Kevin Kennedy Jr. If you're like me, you love cheering on Clarksville's hometown team because the Govs mean something special to our Clarksville community. From little Govs to lifelong Govs, our dental teams are here to serve your family for every need with specialists in kids dentistry at Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry to our experienced general dentist at Clarksville Dental Center. If you love our community and are looking to support businesses that do as well, we'd be honored to serve you. And hey, if you haven't heard yet, Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry is the official sponsor of the Junior Govs Club, the premier club for kids to grow into lifelong Govs fans. Let's go, P.